Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and, well, you know what goes on here on Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, you got it, and as long as the switchboard worked, that means Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, what's going on?
I don't know. I cut it kind of close today, but can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, so let's hope it stays that way, but you never know on Fridays. But anyways, if you'd like to call in and try to talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we would greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but you can reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will do my best to respond to you as quickly as possible. So there you go. So, all right, well, we had a quite interesting NFL trade, as I'm finagling my fantasy lineup here, so let me land all the particulars. We had the San Francisco 49ers move up to the third pick. They acquired that from the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins got the 12th pick. And then in turn, they traded back up to the sixth pick with the Philadelphia Eagles. So now the 49ers are picking third, the Dolphins are sixth, and the Eagles go back to 12th. There were some other miscellaneous stuff involved in there. I know the 49ers acquired two more first-round draft picks in that trade as well. I don't know. Let's see if I can actually find the breakdown of the trade. Since it just happened today, it's difficult to find the exact number. But now, are you on board there, Stu, with the 49ers trading up to get a quarterback like everybody else seems to think?
Well, what do they give up in return? That's what I'm not sure about just yet in order to make these deals.
Well, they gave up more than anybody else here. And they do have Jimmy Garoppolo on their roster, but, you know, there's been a lot of reports that they've been looking to move on from him, even though yesterday they said that he would be their quarterback. So,
well, he hasn't done the job that they expected him to do. They expected more out of him, and he had a few solid games, but I don't think he's been quite as consistent as they would have liked during the course of his career with the 49ers.
All right, well, here's what I got. The 49ers got the number 3 pick. Now, in exchange, Miami got quite a bit back. They got the number 12 pick and a third-round pick in this upcoming draft. Then they got a 2022 and a 2023 first-round pick. So they swapped the third pick for basically 3 first-rounders and a third. So that's a huge deal for a rebuilding Miami Dolphin team. Then the Dolphins took that 12th pick. They packaged it with the 123rd pick and that 2022 first-round pick, and they shipped it to the Eagles in exchange for the sixth pick in the draft and the 156th pick in the upcoming draft. So that's how it all worked out.
Well, it's a very interesting deal, and it sounds that since Miami is obviously in the rebuild mode, that might work out for them, but it won't work out for them for a few years, 2-3 years down the road. In the meantime, San Francisco
is
going to move up to third.
They were almost a playoff team last year. So, you know, it's possible they could, you know, with the right addition at number six, and if their guys continue to improve, they could get in next year.
Maybe, but that's everything works out to their satisfaction. I'm not sure it's going to work out in their favor that quickly. I think it's a good deal for them, but I don't see it really culminating in them being a bona fide playoff contender for maybe 2 years.
Yeah, you know, they still have some work to do. You know, there's no doubt about that, but I definitely think they've, you know, this was a good trade for them, and it gives them an opportunity to really, you know, really improve their team.
Yeah. Overall, I think they've done well with that deal. It's quite a complex deal that was done today, involving so many moves with the various selections in the draft. Now, San Francisco they're going to draft third, so they're obviously going for a quarterback. It looks like. Now, is there any this category in the quarterbacks? There's a lot of good quarterbacks going to be available, but are they of the can't-miss once-in-a-generation type? I'm not sure about that.
The only one that seems to fit that category is Trevor Lawrence, and he's going to go first to the Jaguars.
No question about that.
You know, and then after that, there's questions about, you know, and it does look more and more like quarterbacks are going to be taken with at least the first three picks and probably the first four picks. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how it works out. But, you know, they have, you know, Zach Wilson from BYU had his pro day today. There's questions about him, you know, because he played at BYU, so there's no guarantee that he's going to be able to make that step up. You know, Jim McMahon was able to, but none other BYU quarterback has had the extended success McMahon had. You know, there's, Justin Fields from Ohio State, and there's a lot of questions with him because he likes to hold on to the ball and wait till his receiver gets open. He doesn't throw his receiver open. And then the final guy is Trey Lance, who played at North Dakota State, which is a Division III school. So, you know, that just automatically adds a boatload of questions to how he's going to step up to the higher competition, plus the fact that they canceled their season last year due to COVID.
Yeah, it's not a given that move up is going to be all that great a deal for the 49ers.
No, anybody taking a quarterback after one, you know, there's also Mac Jones, who's expected to go a little later. So I don't think they would reach at three. I don't think they would have moved up to three to get him. But, you know, it's just, you know, there's always questions. I mean, and that's why I don't understand why everybody was saying that you had to move up to get these quarterbacks. And it's almost like the media talked teams into moving up to get these guys. You know, and like the Jets are still sitting at number two. If you're looking for a quarterback, and I think I would like to think or hope the Jets are smart enough not to take one because they have Sam Darnold and they don't really even know what he can do yet. Right now, that number two pick has got to be worth a gold mine. You know, if you're a team like Washington or Carolina, that's been rumored to want to move up and get a quarterback, you know, you're probably going to have to give up multiple number one draft picks, and I'm guessing the minimum being three plus other draft capital to get into that spot. So if I'm the Jets, man, I am taking all offers and asking for the moon right now.
Yeah, I think the Jets are in a great position, and I definitely think that you're right that they're pretty well set with quarterback right now. Of course, the guy can still develop and become a decent quarterback in the NFL. He has got potential. In the meantime, with the number two pick, they can sit back and get a good package out of it if they make a deal with another team, and I think they're going to wind up doing just that.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, obviously there's a lot of, you know, a lot of questions if the Patriots would be interested in moving up to get a quarterback. You got to remember, this isn't something New England does. You know, they're not going to give away, you know, all their draft capital years down the road to get one of these quarterbacks. You know, that, you know, the reason the Patriots win is because they're smart. So,
well, do you think the Patriots can rebound and become a contender, actually a playoff contender for next season? Or is it going to take them another year?
You got to remember that they lost multiple defensive starters last year because they decided to opt out. So they're getting all of those guys back, plus they made some really nice free agent additions. So, you know, and then they brought Cam Newton back, who I expect to have a better year. You know, sometimes your first year in a new offense can be a little off, and his definitely was. So I think they'll bounce back. I don't know about the playoffs because Buffalo is really good, and Miami is improving. So it's a much tougher division. But I think they're going to be a better team, and I won't be surprised if they end up getting in as a wild card or something like that. So,
yeah, they don't usually have a long rebuild. As you said, they have a very smart organization, a very astute coach. So while they might just make it and sneak into the wild card for this upcoming season, look for them to be a more of an actual contender the following year.
So, yeah, you know, and when you look down the draft, you know, Carolina sitting with the eighth pick, so they would have some capital to move up. Now, they do have Teddy Bridgewater on their roster, so I don't know what their excitement about moving up was, but apparently everybody seems to think they need a franchise quarterback. Washington is all the way back at 19. You got to remember that they actually won the pathetic NFC East last year. So they don't have as much draft capital to make that move up there. So it would be really interesting to see what they would have to give up if they were going to try to get to number two.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting draft this year because, as you pointed out, other than the number one obvious choice, I don't see anything standing out as being a can't-miss type of player. Maybe a solid player, maybe a decent NFL career, but nothing like an all-star for the next 10 seasons that'll vault the team that selects them into a decent Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, you know, and some of the wide receivers in the draft have fantastic potential. It's just, you know, will they end up on the right team? And then, of course, how do they adjust to the NFL game? So,
exactly right. I'm wondering, though, if say the top five, say 2 through 5, you think it's a guarantee that they're all going to wind up picking quarterbacks? Or are they going to surprise us and pick something, another position player, as you pointed out, a wide receiver, or something that's unexpected?
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot's going to depend on, like, if the Jets stay at 2, you know, because if they stay at two, the quarterback doesn't make a lot of sense. Otherwise,
no.
I believe the media has teams convinced that they need to take quarterback. So it's going to be all quarterbacks.
Well, we may be surprised when it finally is all said and done, and there'll be some other position players selected in the first six or seven positions at least, despite what the media says are the obvious choices for quarterbacks this season in the upcoming draft.
You know, and the sad part is in a year or two, when one of these or two of these or three of these quarterbacks don't work out, these same media people will be on the air explaining how stupid this team was for making this draft pick.
Yeah, I got the feeling that say 2 through 5 actually pick quarterbacks. I got a feeling that at least two of those picks are going to turn out to be busts.
Yeah. So, you know, and the funny thing is, you know, the reason I say that is because that's what happened here. You know, when Mitchell Trubisky came out, he was rated better than Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. He was the number one quarterback in the draft. Who puts those lists together? I don't know. Obviously, they made a mistake. So the Bears took him. Everybody thought it was a great pick. Now, I know they didn't like the idea that the Bears were, you know, schnookered by the 49ers to move up to 2 to make the pick. They were stupid to do that. But everybody, oh, this is a great pick. He's going to be their quarterback for the next 10 years. Now, I believe coaching had something to do with his downfall, but he obviously wasn't the best quarterback in the draft. Both Watson and Mahomes were better than he was. But the Bears did what everybody had them doing, taking the top-rated quarterback. But the minute he didn't work out, man, they turned on them as fast as they could. Oh, what a terrible pick. I can't believe they made that pick. That's ridiculous. That was a stupid move on their part to take Trubisky. That's what you wanted them to do. So the same thing will happen with these guys.
Yeah, probably so. You know, in retrospect, when you think about everybody was gung-ho about Trubisky being the best quarterback available, my question to you is why? I don't think he had all that much experience playing at the college level.
No, he didn't. He had very minimal experience. I believe it was 9 games in college, but that's all it took for everybody to be sold on him, you know?
Well, he's a good guy. He's a hard worker. He does the best he can up to his ability, and I hope he has success with his new team.
Yeah, you know, and I hope he gets an opportunity to start somewhere down the road. Obviously, that won't be with Buffalo next year because, you know, they have Josh Allen. But, you know, there's always a need for quarterbacks. So, I hope he gets an opportunity and he gets with a coach who, let's face it, isn't such a complete bust. You know, because, you know, he turned Trubisky into a bust. Matt Nagy is a bust as a head coach here. You know, they're not winning anything next year. I don't care how excited everybody gets. You know, I mean, right now their big excitement is they're pushing the fact that Andy Dalton is their starting quarterback. So that should say plenty about the season right there.
I take it you're not excited about 8-8, are you?
I don't even know if they'll be 8-8.
Well, I'm not sure their schedule is going to be all that difficult next season, so they might win 7 or 8 games.
I could see 6-10, 7-9, but I think the Vikings will be better, definitely, and the Packers obviously dominate that division. The Lions could go either way. You know, they've got a young quarterback who's actually been to the Super Bowl that his team gave up on him after a bad year. So we'll see if, maybe he can, fit in there with their new coach. And, if things work out, hell, the Bears can. I wouldn't be shocked to see the Bears in last place in that division.
Well, Well, that's very possible. I'm not sure they're as bad as Detroit, but that remains to be seen. And as you pointed out, I was saying eight wins again for next season. Maybe seven might be more realistic, but I can't see them only winning six.
Oh, you know, I could. I'm trying to remember if the schedule's been released, so I don't know who their matchups are in the other, you know, in the other conference.
Won't their schedule
next
season
those...
be a little bit easier than this season?
No, they were a playoff team.
That's true.
So
that's hard to believe, but they were,
you know.
Yeah. Well, talk about backing into a playoff,
yeah.
Right? But it's happened before.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things you have to remember. They did manage to get in. And here you go. They have they are playing the AFC North next year. So they definitely aren't going to beat the Ravens. I doubt they'll be able to beat the Steelers. Cleveland was a playoff team. I think Cleveland is better than them. Depending, I'll have to see Cincinnati and how Joe Burrow is. But that, you know, that's definitely a game they can lose. And then besides their division, it looks like they have the NFC West as well. The Cardinals, the 49ers, the Rams and the Seahawks. And the only team they have a shot in beating in that division is the Cardinals.
Yeah, maybe I was over optimistic when I said eight. Maybe your selection of six might be a little bit more accurate.
Yeah, and you know, and then just to top things off, they end the season by facing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, and I know they did beat them last year, but does anybody honestly think it's going to happen again?
Yeah, that was a miraculous victory last year. How that happened.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are, especially since Tampa Bay went on to win the Super Bowl.
That was early in the season, and maybe it took Brady a couple more weeks to become acclimated with the team, and we know what happened then after that, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, and you know, looking, they do have the New York Giants, but besides the two games against the Lions, the game against the Giants, and possibly the two games against the Vikings, there aren't very many winnable games on this schedule. So, you know, six wins I wouldn't be surprised with at all.
I think they'll beat Detroit one game, at least one game against Detroit.
I mean, my guess is they split with Detroit and Minnesota. You know, and I think they beat the Giants, but that's only three wins. Even if I give them the game against the Bengals, who are they upsetting? You know, maybe they beat Arizona. That would be five, but then they're going to have to pull an upset out of their hat to get a sixth. And I don't know. Maybe San Francisco will struggle if they're going to be making changes or, you know, going with a new quarterback. So maybe that's the sixth win. But these other teams, you know, are too talented and definitely shouldn't lose to the Bears.
Yeah, well, you make some very good points, and maybe. Maybe Detroit will wind up in third place next season.
You know, and, you know, that is possible because, you know, in reality, Detroit should have the easier schedule, being the fact that, you know, obviously they were in last place and generally, you know, they get an easier schedule. But they're still going to have to face – you know, the AFC North. But they do get the Falcons and the Eagles, you know, instead, where the Bears get the Giants and the Buccaneers. The Lions drew the Falcons and the Eagles. So those would be two winnable games for Detroit.
Yeah, at this stage, at least, it doesn't look very promising for the Bears.
So,
I do see
some
more maneuvering when it comes to the top 10 teams in the draft. I think before it's all said and done, there'll be some gyrating going on and some deals consummated when teams moving up, as you pointed out, the Jets. And so things are going to happen before the draft actually commences.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, more teams jump up or, you know, other, you know, like in the Jets case, you know, get a bundle to move down. So,
yeah, this will be a good
you know,
deal for the Jets.
You know,
if they're smart, this could be a very, very great process for the Jets to become a respectable team over the next two seasons.
Yeah. And, you know, and for me, I mean, it's still a humorous thing is a lot of the mock drafts I've seen since the trade are still calling for the Jets to take a quarterback at number two. And I just don't get that move. You know, I mean, with as much value as you are sitting on right now, if you didn't move that pick, your front office should be fired.
Yeah, there's going to have to be some move. They're not going to pick a quarterback. I don't see them picking a quarterback. Besides, the quarterbacks 2 through 4 aren't all that impressive, and they all have their weaknesses to contend with.
Yeah, you know, and it's just it's ridiculous. And unfortunately, the mock draft I happened to pull up doesn't go to 20 because I was interested to see who they had the Bears pick in. But, you know, I'll have to see if I can find one that goes that deep after that and see if their pick has changed. But, yeah, I just, you know, a lot of, you know, like what they throw out here doesn't make a lot of sense when they start talking about, you know, and, you know, there's also the possibility that, you know, there's going to be teams like the Panthers who do have an established quarterback. You know, they already have Teddy Bridgewater. They may not want to give up what the Jets are asking for. So they may stay put.
That's a possibility.
So.
Well, the Jets.
But
go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish your thoughts.
No, I was going to say that the draft is coming up pretty soon now, correct?
Yeah, you know, I don't remember the date. I'll get that in a minute. But I found 3 new mock drafts that have the Bears. One has them moving up to number 13 to take a quarterback. It has them taking Trey Lance in a trade with the San Diego Chargers. Another one has them taking a safety by the name of Andre Sisco out of Syracuse. And then the final one that they have here, oh, no, there's 2 more, have them taking Greg Newsom II, who's a defensive back out of Northwestern. And the only one that actually makes any sense for the Bears pick is this last one, which has them taking an offensive lineman by the name of Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. Because the Bears don't, you know, even though they got rid of Kyle Fuller, they don't need to be taking a defensive back in the first round, be it a cornerback or a safety. They need to protect Andy Dalton because he doesn't run like Mitchell Trubisky. So you need linemen.
Yeah, desperately need linemen. That's no question about that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they get a little carried away with the trades because everybody else is predicting these quarterbacks to be gone, and yet this guy has them, you know, this guy has a quarterback being there at 13. And just so you know, the draft starts April 29th, so in 3 days.
Oh, I thought it was early May.
Yeah.
I thought it was early May, but that's good. It'll be something to look forward to for April, which is right around the corner anyway. And have you noticed
mock
drafts? You're talking about mock drafts. Are most of them pretty similar in their predictions, or are there some that are more divergent than others?
You know, there's always a few that, you know, the guys are just kind of off the reservation. You know, and there are a couple guys that don't like to predict trades. So that automatically makes their mock drafts different than anybody else's. But for the most part, the guys who are predicting trades and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with that have quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, no surprise there. And
so,
over the years, have you seen one particular person predicting that that's more accurate than others when it comes to the mock draft?
Oh, no, they all stink.
No one ever gets it right. No one ever gets it right there.
No.
Obviously
this year, you know, everybody is going to get the first pick right because it's going to be Trevor Lawrence going to the Jaguars. After that, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out on April 29th. It'll be quite an interesting draft.
Yeah, and, you know, remember now, they have the draft broken up into 3 days. April 29th is the first round, which is a Friday. Saturday you get rounds 2 and 3, and then Sunday they finish up with 4 through 7. So,
well, I think in terms of ratings, I would think that the first round will generate more interest than the other rounds.
Surprisingly, they all do fantastic. There are people out there who watch all 7 rounds and don't miss a pick. You know, and, you know, obviously round 1 will win Friday night. It's on in prime time, and it will be the highest rated program on that Friday night, no matter what it's up against. You know, the NFL beats out everything, no matter what it is. So sorry, WWE, but SmackDown's going to lose that Friday night, no matter how much you try to load the show, and your product stinks anyway, so I don't know why people watch it. But that's a different story.
Are you saying that the draft is going to beat out the NBA game of the week?
Hey, you and I doing this podcast on TV would beat out the NBA game of the week.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And, it'll be interesting. Plus, they will have some competition because, don't forget, the MLB season is starting. And I don't know if the playoffs will be starting yet in basketball and hockey in late April or not. But they'll be up against competition.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, though, it doesn't matter what's on. The NFL wins. You know, no matter what they put or what people try to tell you or how much they try to hate the league, you know, and that's why they do it, because they are the top league, so of course you have to be against them. But, yeah, they win. It doesn't matter. They'll win.
Yeah, I wonder how the ratings are determined when there's so much surfing going on nowadays. I mean, you might watch a couple of selections 1 through 5, and then flip over to a baseball game or a basketball game, a hockey game, and then I wonder how they determine the overall extent of the ratings when people do that so much nowadays.
Yeah, that I don't know. You know, I don't know how they figure out, you know, who's watching what, you know, because obviously they can't do it every single second you're on, because obviously, you know, I like to flip channels. You know, I'll go back and forth between whatever's on. So, you know, I I'll flip over to check a score of an NBA game, but I'm not watching, you know, the entire Bulls game, no matter who they're playing.
Exactly. Yeah. There used to be a Nielsen box there. I don't even know if Nielsen is in business anymore, but they used to set up a box on your TV set. So when you turn on a program, they would automatically generate what program you're watching. But I think that was in the days before people started to do as much surfing as they do now. And there's just so many other channels available and streaming and everything else that it's hard to get an accurate rating now, but they somehow managed to do it.
Yeah, you know, or they try, you know, and that's part of the reason why ratings are down, because there are so many people, you know, like Dan doesn't have, you know, a cable service. He uses a streaming site. So, you know, it's completely different, you know, and they can't really follow what they're doing. You know, it's difficult to get those ratings. So, you know, whatever he's watching isn't counted among whatever the nightly ratings are that come out.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I thought that they could generate some kind of a ratings if you're streaming something also, but I guess evidently not.
Yeah, well, they can eventually. I believe it takes about a month for them to collect all the data from the streaming services to find out, like, who's watching what. Because I'm sure you've seen the articles online where they say, well, this was the most watched program on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, but it takes them a while to gather this up where, like, you could go online right now and Bing top-rated show from, you know, March 25th, 2001, and they would have a quick rating for you on what won the rating.
Yeah, I know that, for example, you were talking about SmackDown before. I know on the Raw viewership, you can call any of the hotlines the next day and or the day after, and they used to, well, they drew 1,840,000 people. So they know quickly how many people they're watching or impact to 140,000.
So, yeah, no, they get out a real quick rating at the end of the night, you know, with the demographic age breakdown. So, and unfortunately, you and I are no longer in the demographic that they want, but that's their fault, not ours. So
that's right. And so you're saying they don't really care much about what you and I are watching.
Yeah, no, nobody cares at all, unfortunately, what you and I are watching or doing or any of that stuff when it comes to television. So,
what are they concentrating on the 18 to 25-year-olds primarily?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the smaller version of it, but it's 18 to 49 is where all the money is. So that's what they want.
We're past that. I'm way past that point. You're not that far past that point, though.
Well, you know, past it far enough to where I don't matter. So.
Yeah, it's too bad because they could maybe do something in terms of advertising for the old fogies like myself.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, the problem with that is they don't think we spend money. You know, they want that age bracket that's going to go out there and spend the money, and they just don't think that we do it. So.
Yeah, that's the way of the world, and we're on the downward side, I'm afraid.
Yeah, you know, that's unfortunate, but that's how it's looked at. So we'll have to, you know, see how that works out. But, you know, and I know, you know, both you and I do spend money because we talk about going, grocery shopping all the time. So.
Exactly, yeah. I've got to get over and get my two staffs of life. I mean, otherwise I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I stop, you know, now, especially after the surgery, I stop multiple times a week to get things I need. So.
Yeah,
you know,
with the corona, you know, I try to limit my shopping out to maybe once a week, twice a week at the max. But once I got my second shot, maybe I could do it on a more frequent basis.
Yeah, no, well, you know, like I try to plan to go when there's the least amount of people there. You know, get in there early, get out, and, you know, not have to deal with too many people. So
it's smart.
You know, we'll see.
You got to protect yourself as much as you can.
So, yeah, you know, that's at least that's the plan, you know. But all right, let's, while we're kind of bantering in between non-sports articles, let's get your picks in while I'm thinking about it here. So we don't forget or, God forbid, get cut off again. And now none of the local teams are playing tonight, well, at least not the Bulls or the Blackhawks. There may be somebody else in action. I don't know how many local teams we have. But the Bulls have a game tomorrow night. They are in San Antonio to take on the Spurs with their newly acquired center. So you got the Bulls winning tomorrow night.
I'd like to say so, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to pick the Spurs to win this one.
Ooh, okay. I thought for sure you were going to take the Bulls there, but all right. And now the Blackhawks have an interesting series of games here, both Saturday and Sunday. Both the games are in Chicago, so maybe this will help you. But both games are against the Nashville Predators, which is where all of Dan's relatives moved and his favorite team now. The Blackhawks are actually ahead of the Predators in the standings by 4 points, but each team has won 16 games. It's just the Blackhawks have 4 more ties. So first off, who wins tomorrow night, the Blackhawks or the Predators?
Based on the Blackhawks' 2 victories over a top-notch team, I'm going to have to predict the Blackhawks are going to win on Saturday.
Okay, and then, of course, we bounce back on Sunday. So you got the Blackhawks sweeping this series? Or you got Nashville?
I do go along with the sweep this time. I'm going to be optimistic.
Oh, all right. So we'll see how that works out for you. And you could use a good week. You know, you're slipping here. You're actually only 1 game over 500. So
yeah. By the way, you know, we were cut off the last 10 minutes last Friday.
Yeah.
And I didn't get my picks in, but I think I sent them to you via email right after we were cut off, and I did win all 3 of those. So of course,
just luck.
Of course, I was very fortunate Denver beat the Bulls. I predicted the Bulls were going to lose that game, and they wound up losing it. But boy, they threw that one away. That was an absolute disgrace.
Yeah. Well, you know, is there any chance you can tell me if Jimmy Butler is going to play tonight? Because I have him in my lineup, but he's a game time decision because apparently he's sick. But I don't know if it's, you know, how bad sick he is. And I know they're a little shorthanded because they made some deals yesterday, and I don't think their players have arrived yet because I believe the NBA gives you 2 or 3 days to report to your new team. So
yeah, I would think that he's a tough kid, and I don't even call him a kid anymore. If I were a betting man, I'd say Butler would be in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, sadly, unfortunately, he's missed quite a few games this season. With just, like, little nagging injuries and stuff.
Yeah, he usually can suck it up and get in there anyway, even with the nagging injuries. And I don't know, is the age starting to catch up to him? He's not that old, actually.
No, and, you know, you wonder if it's the age or if it's just the new NBA where guys get rested, you know, so they'll be ready for playoff time.
That's a possibility. That's always a possibility. By the way, isn't there a hockey game? Was there a hockey game or a basketball game canceled tonight because of COVID? It could be in hockey, but I'm trying to remember it now. One of them,
yeah,
there was a cancellation.
There are actually 2 hockey games canceled tonight. I know one of them involved the Montreal Canadiens because I had to adjust my fantasy lineup because I had a Canadian player in my lineup. But, yeah, I don't remember the other game. But, yeah, we lost 2 hockey games tonight due to COVID still. So.
Yeah, and you would think that the leagues are finally getting that under control, and then something like this crops up.
Yeah, you know, obviously, it's difficult for, you know, a league to handle because, you know, we're talking about so many people, you know, that they can't monitor all of them. You know,
yeah.
It's just physically impossible.
It's really
so,
a shame because it happened in the NCAA last weekend, too. One of the teams had a forfeit their game. So it's still there. And I don't know if people are starting to get a little complacent about it, but they shouldn't. And all safeguards should still be in place.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, the NCAA did everything they could. It happened at the hotel that the team was staying at, and it was just, there was nothing anybody could do about it.
No.
So, you know, you feel bad for the team because it was, I believe it was a team that doesn't, you know, go to the tournament regularly. And, you know, here they go, you know, all of a sudden, now they don't get to play their game. And I wanted to say it was Virginia Commonwealth, but I'm not sure if that's correct.
You might be right.
Yeah,
right.
You just feel bad for them.
I think they were the underdogs anyway, but that, you know, we know that there's a lot of upsets in NCAA.
So yeah, they were definitely the underdog to I want to say Oregon State. Yeah, they, you know, they still, you know, you never know. So
you know, is Oregon State the team? Oregon State the team that's playing Loyola tomorrow afternoon?
Possibly. Let me get the matchups here, and I will tell you who's playing who and how it all works out. And if, you know, then again, we get to the point where I need something, so my internet is going to slow down.
Absolutely.
Been doing good for the first 45 minutes, but now that I needed something, it kind of turned on me. But here we go. It's catching up, so we shall see here.
Yeah, I believe it's 1:40 start.
Yeah, we have Oregon State, which definitely wasn't the team that was playing Virginia Commonwealth. They are taking on Loyola. They're the first game tomorrow at 1:40. Then we got Baylor versus Villanova, Arkansas against Oral Roberts, and Houston against Syracuse tomorrow. So
far the big surprise in that those brackets is Oral Roberts.
Yeah, definitely. So they've been, you know, a huge surprise, you know, and I just got to see how far they go. It was VCU that had to forfeit the game, but they forfeited to Oregon.
Okay.
Who then, of course, beat Iowa, and another Big Ten team out of the tournament. So.
Yeah, they're, they fell like droves in droves, didn't they, the Big Ten teams? But there is still one team left, right?
Yeah. Michigan.
That's it. Iowa's gone. Illinois is gone. All the highly ranked teams are gone. Ohio State.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, any Big Ten team that got in is gone. So... you know, they didn't make it. But looking, I do somehow manage to have three of my four Final Four teams still alive. The only one I lost was Illinois.
Yeah, are you picking Gonzaga to win it all?
Yeah, I do two every year, and this is the bracket I have Gonzaga in. The other one I had Illinois in. So that one I don't think is doing quite as well, obviously. Let me click over, because I think I had multiple Big Ten teams moving forward. That one I only have two teams left. So, but yeah, I had both Ohio State and Illinois finding their way into the Final Four, and they didn't make it.
No.
So that one's a little short. So we'll see how the rest.
I think Loyola has a shot of beating Oregon State tomorrow. I think it'll be a close game.
Yeah, well, I believe they're actually the favorite tomorrow, because Oregon State is a 12 seed. So
yeah, that's right. But
and obviously, definitely the team we're, you know, everybody in the area is rooting for now. You know, you'd like to see them move along.
If Loyola lost some players because of injury, could Sister Jean come in and help them out, play a little bit?
Yeah, I'm gonna guess no, since she's in the wheelchair now. But I guess, you know,
right.
Maybe.
Yeah,
you know,
she's a very. By the way, she's very, very alert and sharp for someone in 101, isn't she? She's articulate and knows a lot about basketball.
Well, you know, I guess it helps to have God on your side, right?
That's it. No comment.
You know, but yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, they'll move on and, you know, get a chance for her to see another game, and then who knows? You know, I mean, with the way this is going this year, and you know, it doesn't really surprise me, because you know, you didn't really know who was who coming into the tournament, with the exception of Gonzaga. You know, and I mean, all the Big Ten teams looked great, and you look how that worked out.
Yeah, and Gonzaga has really dominated in their first two games.
So. definitely looking like the team. And it would be nice to see them go through undefeated, and win it all.
It's only happened once before, and they always call it the curse of Indiana that they have to contend with now.
Yeah. So, Bobby Knight will haunt you if you go, if you go undefeated. So you have to be careful there.
Yeah, I understand his nickname was Mr. Personality.
Like when he was being interviewed and it wasn't like basketball related, he seemed like a decent guy. But man, on the court was just a different guy.
Yeah, pretty volatile. But he got the job done, didn't he? I mean, he got his team's won. His team's won.
And obviously, the big deal now is the fact that there's absolutely no way his style would ever fit into our softer, everybody gets the trophy world. I mean, they would kill him. So.
Yeah, he would not be the coach of the year in our current PC world that we live in.
Yeah. In reality, I think that's what cost him his last job was some of the video that leaked when he was, at Indiana and Texas Tech, where I believe he finished up at Texas Tech.
Yeah, he did.
But,
he did.
He was a tough guy, and that's how he expected his kids to play. And, if you didn't, well, then you met his wrath, and it was bad.
Yeah, no question about it, and that will not fly anymore.
No, not even close. So, it's a totally different world. I mean, you can't tell a kid he did something wrong. You have to tell him it's okay, and he'll do it better next time.
Well, I think the late Coach Hayes at Ohio State wouldn't fare very well now, would he?
No, and I don't think a lot of those guys, the all-time greats, would. So, you have to wonder how, John Wooden would even do. And I know he wasn't really known for his temper, but I'm willing to bet he was really tough. And,
he was tough in a more sophisticated type way, though. So
yeah.
he might have done okay in today's coaching today also.
So, yeah, and it's just, I don't know, good or bad or indifferent, it's just how it is now.
Yeah, we've got to adapt to it. So if you ever go back to coaching again, you'll have to be a little more gentle when you coach.
Yeah, it wasn't the way I was coached, I can tell you that.
No. And, you had the reputation of being a tough coach too, right?
I was incredibly tough. No matter what sport it was, I was a yeller and a screamer and all that stuff. So
you'd have to ramp it up down a little bit if you wanted to coach nowadays.
Definitely, yeah. I probably couldn't even open my mouth if I was coaching these days. So I used to make grown men cry at wrestling practice. So imagine what I would do to a kid if I yelled at him.
Yeah, exactly, you want to train the people you train properly, and so they wouldn't get injured the first time in the ring.
Yes. Or injure somebody else, which is a bigger concern.
Yeah, that would be that's the worst concern, I'm sure, in the business, is that because of lack of experience, an untrained wrestler will injure his opponent, and boy, that is a no-no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very big thing, and obviously you don't want to mess something up in the ring with, a veteran wrestler, because they are going to make you pay for it.
Would they make you pay for it in the ring itself, or would they wait until back in the locker room before they would discuss the mistakes that the rookie has made?
It depends on who you were wrestling. You know, if you were in with a legitimate tough guy, you were going to get your rear end kicked in the ring. You know, if you were lucky and you were in with one of the nicer guys who wasn't into roughing guys up like that, it would happen in the locker room.
Yeah, well, it's a valuable lesson to learn. And I suppose if you're properly trained, though, you could avoid most of those things happening to you.
Yeah. You know, I mean, as long as you pay attention, you know, it's nothing, you know, nothing's going to happen. You'll be just fine. But, you know, like if it's a mistake, most guys understand that it was a mistake. And, you know, nobody pays for that. So.
No, exactly right. Did you notice any when you wrestled somebody from a major organization, did you notice more of a finesse in their style, more of a way to protect themselves and you? For example, when you wrestled, I'm trying to remember his name, Shane Douglas. He used that. Troy Martin, is that his real name, Troy Martin, or Shane Douglas? You wrestled him a couple of times. Anything different about his style than some of the independent guys you went up against?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously he's smarter and, you know, he knows how to put the match together so you're not fighting with guys about where you're going to go and what you're going to do and how this makes sense. So that was the best part was, you know, just, you know, I think we talked for 2 minutes the first night and then went out and did two matches on back-to-back nights that covered about 40 minutes. Without any issue, you know, and you know, obviously he wasn't going to do anything crazy, you know, being a veteran guy who's just on an indie show, more or less just collecting a payday. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, the problem you run into now is like, I had a kid tell me he didn't get all his moves in and he didn't want to go home. You know, he didn't want to end the match. I'm like, I don't care. It's time for us to end.
He pouted.
Yeah, he pouted that he didn't get all the moves in. You know, and he complained to the promoter about me that I didn't let him get all his moves in. So,
You're only out a certain amount of time to take it home, right? I mean, if they say 12 minutes, you got to wrap it in 12 minutes.
Right. Well, you know, like we had 8 to 10, and, I was going over on them, because I was on my way back towards they were going to give me their top title again. So, I was going to beat him. And, you know, I didn't want to make him look like a complete clown. I never really liked to do that. Just because I'm a nice guy, or I'd like to think. But yeah, he was a schmuck, and I should have beat the hell out of him. I guess he's lucky we didn't wrestle again.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And yeah, some guys are like that. I guess if they don't get their offense in, they're not happy. Even if it was a 5-star match, they might still not be 100% happy.
And a lot of that comes from the fact that these guys were never squashed like we were when we started out. All you did was work squash matches to learn. So.
Remember that you can listen to us every day.